Hello and welcome to the Disney Magic Hour, episode number 57, Disney in the Fall. It's only me doing a little solo intro right now, so say hello, Pete, and say hello, Pogo. And that was Forget. You can find that video and more over at youtube.com/pogo. You can find all of his music over at soundcloud.com/pogomix. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at Diz Magic Hour Pod. That is D-I-S Magic Hour Pod. Over on Facebook, search for Disney Magic Hour and you can add yourself to our group. If you head on over to iTunes, give a 5-star review. Melissa will read it live at the end of its show. Unfortunately, not this week though, because we were on location recording. And if you head on over to Google Music Play, go into the podcast section. You can find us there as well. You can also find all of our old episodes and new ones over at soundcloud.com/Disney Magic Hour. And you can stream and download those across your devices. And on Instagram, we are Disney Magic Hour Podcast. So here we are again. I am actually going to do a very, very short little piece here because we're going to jump over to a conversation that me and Melissa and Becky Mankin had over at Martha's Vineyard, which is at the Beach Club Resort. Yes, I believe Beach Club Resort. And we were there just a couple of nights ago, and we got into a conversation about things that we love most about Disney in the fall. So it was a lot of fun. It's a pretty lengthy conversation, too, but there's a lot of ground to cover because there's a lot to do in the fall. It probably is my favorite time to visit the parks. Overall, like if I had to pick one, it would be, okay, yeah, here's my favorite thing due to so much that's going on around that time. And also at the opening, you are going to, we're going to give you a nice big announcement for us. It's a really exciting, week, last couple of months for our show. And we're very proud and very happy to be able to share something with you finally on this week's show. All right, guys. Enjoy it. I'll see you at the end. Take care.
Those things are finally starting to pick up. And we've had a couple of people like put photos. Everyone's sharing photos up of the construction and whatnot. And I think they're moving quick. I think they're moving quick. As quick as one can move on these things. So, hey, how is everybody, guys? You heard from the intro. Right now we're over in Martha's Vineyard. And there is food and drink about. A lot of... How do you say it, Melissa?
Calamar.
Why are you so nervous all of a sudden? All of a sudden you're hesitant. There was a discussion earlier about intensity of saying things in Italian, as us Italians like to do. So actually, why don't we introduce our guest tonight? You all know her from... Actually, you've been on our show before.
Yeah,
you've been on our show once before, and everyone knows you, obviously, from your WDW time. Introduce yourself.
I mean, that's like a WDW radio time. That's isn't that my prison time? Is it something of that nature? I'm Becky Mankin with MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, and it's great to be back again, especially in this location, because I'm not sitting at my desk on Skype with a headset and probably my pajamas at the time, but now we are actually... at Walt Disney World, which makes things a lot easier and much more fun to talk about.
If we were in our jammies, I'd be all right with that, actually. I can be in my... I've never been here.
Jammies in a bar?
Yeah,
like
why
a
not?
A baby in a bar. Jammies in a bar.
Fine.
Okay.
I've actually never been here before, Martha's Vineyard.
Really?
We've always walked by it,
yeah,
but we've never actually came in here, so this is our first time. The food's really good. There's so much food on my plate, I'm not going to finish it, but I got the pork slider. Yeah, I know. It's the usual, actually, for me. But I got the pork sliders with the chips, and if you heated it up, it's another meal. Melissa, what did you got? The calamari.
Yes.
Was it good?
It was very good.
Just for like a little mini food review, might as well.
Yeah, no, it was quite a lot. It looks like I haven't touched it, but I did. I ate quite a bit.
And, I mean, it's going to happen. What are you drinking?
I have a cocktail. I have no food in front of me. I have a cocktail, but wait a minute. The cherry in the cocktail?
There you go.
Does that count as food? As fruit?
Yes, it does. Why not?
I have a glass of fruit and ice with some other stuff.
Oh, you said before, actually, now that I think of it, you said no fruit and chocolate. Does it mix?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Everybody's got a thing, right? Everyone's got a food thing. And I know some people that won't allow certain foods to touch on a plate, so you can't have, like... dry food and wet food touching, so you have to have it on three different plates. That's not me. I'm not that weird. I have specific things that are important, like chocolate. Okay. Just say chocolate, and all of a sudden, mouth is watering, and I automatically gain 20 pounds by even just saying the word and thinking chocolate. But I am not a fan of, like, you get a chocolate, go to Beaches and Cream, right? Ask for a sundae, and they want to say, put all the nuts. No, I want no nuts in ice cream. It does not, it's a texture thing maybe, but it's just wrong, because you want a smooth ice cream. You want hot fudge that goes with the ice cream, and nuts just cause it all kinds of issues. But the other one is fruit. I don't like people do chocolate and raspberry. Can't do it. Chocolate and raspberry.
Strawberries. Chocolate strawberries, nothing?
No, you scrape off the chocolate off the strawberry, and then you eat the strawberry, and then you finish with the chocolate shavings from the chocolate dipped strawberry.
I think it's heresy.
It's a thing. Now, but wait. Okay. No, but I'm not a chocolate purist. We're just talking about that whole, you know, where do you fit? I'm somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
But I do like my chocolate and caramel. All right. And caramel, chocolate with the caramel, caramel around the chocolate, you know, a cocktail with chocolate around the rim, and then caramel. Yeah, I'm good there. That works.
White chocolate.
Yeah, it's chocolate. Okay.
Oh, all right. No, but okay, I know some people, Malia, you don't like white chocolate.
No, I like white chocolate.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah. You guys are married, right? I just want to make sure.
Yeah, no, it's all right.
He remembers my birthday every so often.
Okay, well.
Only because I'm filling out so much paperwork lately for that new job. Now
really?
It's,
oh, now there's an excuse.
Now it's like stuck in there. I'm like, all right, now I got it now.
Okay, good.
Before
good,
that,
good
though, job. Honestly.
Right, but
no good.
On the other side, okay, so caramel's good.
Caramel's okay.
And coconut. Coconut and chocolate like coconut is amazing.
So, yeah. Wait, so what do you do with a Mounds bar?
Well, no.
What's the one without the, isn't there two
like
of them?
You like a nut and sometimes
yeah,
you don't.
Sometimes you don't.
Almond Joy has got nuts. Mounds don't. I know the commercial.
No, Mounds, the mound is the almond, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Oh, no?
No.
Almond Joy's got nuts. Mounds
Almond Joy.
Don't.
Why would
okay.
you call Almond Joy?
So, yeah, but what was the mound part of it then?
It's the
just
the
a mound
coconut.
Of caramel?
Yeah.
Coconut?
Coconut.
What about salted caramel? What are your feelings on salted
love
caramel
it.
Chocolate?
Okay. Love it. Okay, like the you other were, night.
Yeah, I was going to say, you want to go
really
into
quickly,
it, yeah.
I went over to Toothsome, which is that new, beautiful chocolate factory looking thing out in City Walk. Everything's chocolate. Everything's chocolate. And one of the things they have is a starter, which is chocolate bread. Now, it sounds weird at first, kind of. It's not a cake. It's not a donut. It's a bread. And it has hints of chocolate to it. But then you have a salted caramel butter that you spread over that. And it's like a savory sweetness together, which is amazing.
No, yeah. One of my actually, while I was confused by the almond part, as I was.
Don't edit that because it's too funny.
It smelled so chocolatey. But it didn't overpoweringly taste like chocolate.
No, it's fantastic.
But it smelled really chocolatey.
Yeah.
That place looks really nice.
And you have to be very careful. I think that's one of the things that all of us need to go and talk about it. But you need to be very careful on what you order there, because you get, and not in a bad way, it's all in a good way. Everything is so good, and there's so huge portions with the entrees that if you really do want one of those amazing sundaes, or the shakes that, either way, one of them comes with, it's a shake, it's a large glass, and there is a red velvet cupcake inside the glass. And oh, by the way, there's another one on top of it.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So there's definitely a few calories in that place. So go eat light and then sugar yourself up at the end.
And just so you know, if you're going now, they're still in soft open.
Right.
And there are some, you know, there's some technical hiccups right now. Last night, the thing that we ran into was we couldn't get a shake at our table because the, what would you call it? The soda fountain bar was so backed up that there just wasn't enough to go around.
Right.
So, you know, if you want to get a shake, maybe just for now, for the first little while, just get it from the soda fountain, wait online. But if you want to get a sundae, you can still get that at the table.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
And that's something that you run into, let's just put that out there for anything, Disney, Universal, wherever that you run into. If you are agreeing to go to a soft opening and it's not an official grand opening or after, you are pretty much agreeing to be a beta tester.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Sometimes it's going to work, sometimes it's not. Sometimes they're going to have what they're talking about, sometimes they won't. Start, and I usually give a place a good week or two or even a month to get settled into what they're doing and how they're going to tweak things if I really want a great experience. But if I just want to go in to get a taste of what they're going to put on the table for me in a month, that's what I did last night.
Yeah, that was mine too, because also when we were in New York, in Manhattan near Union Square, there used to be a place called Max Brenner. It was chocolate by the Bald Man. And it's a very, very similar setup to what they had over here. It was kind of steampunky, a little Willy Wonka-ish. And so they kind of, you know, they took the elements from some existing places. But I was curious, like, are they going to be as chocolate-heavy as Max Brenner? Because that was his thing, too. And I'm curious what they're going to add down the line, because, like, there was no chocolate syringe, which is insane, but that was a thing. But I'm looking for... I got to go back again, though, because we were so ready to get a shake, but then the line was so long we didn't have time, so we actually didn't get dessert, which is a nightmare.
And let's also again, that these shakes aren't just shakes. It's not somebody who's taking something at a soda fountain and creating a quick shake and putting it together. This is not McDonald's. This is not your McDonald's shake. This is not a drive-thru shake. I watched them craft these things, and it would take 5 minutes for somebody to carefully get all of the ingredients mixed just right, or to put that red velvet cupcake in there, but not to soak it with, you know, too much ice cream, because in that way it would just be a soaked mess. So it was interesting to watch how they craft them. And so you need to kind of appreciate the time that goes into them. And a lot of their food is art, which I found very interesting. And it's not that everything across the board has chocolate. They have great entrees. I mean, for example, what I had was a quiche plate, which was a small, maybe a baseball-sized dish that had a side salad, a small pie piece of quiche, and then another baseball-sized type bowl that was full of fruit. Light, perfect, tasted really good, came out hot. It was a wonderful dish. So that was kind of like, all right, something light so that I can take down those huge sundaes, which I shared, because it has like 4 or 5 scoops of ice cream in the darn thing.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah.
There had to be at least 20 options of shakes also.
Oh, yeah, at least.
Like maybe 30, actually. It may have been 30.
Did you notice?
Two full pages of the menu with like real photos. They weren't like just descriptions. Like you could really see exactly what you were going to get. But I didn't even notice the second cupcake. Yeah. I only noticed the first one, and I wasn't aware there was a second one at the bottom, actually.
I had the bar manager over there that was telling me and explaining a lot of the menu and what they were doing, what they were trying to accomplish, which was really neat because you could have those conversations to figure out what they were doing. But my biggest one was, did you see the size of that menu?
Yeah.
It was a book.
Yeah.
And it starts with the story on the front about Penelope and all the things that are going on. So they've really put together a good theming with a good story behind it. But they hand you this menu, which is, it's like a college textbook. So when the bar manager comes over to introduce himself and tell me a little bit about what's going on, I said, so how long do I have to study this before I get the test? Because it's huge. It's very descriptive. There's tons of information in it, but then you're distracted by all these wonderful pictures.
Yeah.
So it's an experience. This is not one of those places that you're going to stop by to, you know, just run in, get a Diet Coke, throw a slider in your mouth and go. This is one of those things that you want to go, know that you have some time, let yourself digest if you've eaten something so that you can have one of those fantastic desserts.
And brunch all day.
Oh, yes.
Brunch is available day. I had bananas. What did I have? Bananas, Nutella, French toast. It was a lot. It was a heavy dish.
Let's just say for a moment, we were there at the same time, but we were on two different levels and had no idea. The place was big.
So dumb, though. I should have just...
But then again, the whole place was decorated so well, and it was packed.
It was packed. Yeah.
And I love the steampunk decor and the outfits, and it was refreshing.
Yeah, it was a cool new thing. I'm curious of how it's... They're going to settle in soon. I want to go again my second time once they settle in. So I'll give them a couple of weeks, and then I'm going to go back and see how everything is. But that's not even why we're here tonight.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, you know what? Actually, we should get to the other part first, actually.
What's that?
Granted, somebody guessed this correctly on the site. Congratulations, Corey. We do have a bit of an announcement. Not a bit of an announcement. We have an announcement. we have now... What's the wording? What is the right wording for this? Partnered... Conjoined,
hand shaking.
I'm giving you a shot.
We've entered the qualifying round.
You're being vetted.
We're being vetted. We're being vetted for the next couple of months, one could say, in that MEI is now this, our sponsor.
And we're very happy for that because you guys are so much fun to just talk with. And then the information that you're giving out on the show is wonderful. And
is it? Okay, good.
And just to give you the three elements of what our company does, MEI Travel, I think we explained that before, is the wing of the company that does everything. So if you want to go to Universal, we have a division that's Universal Fan Travel. We also do Royal Caribbean, and we do all of the cruise lines and all the destinations. If you want to go to Hawaii, we can do that. If you want to go to New York, we can do that. If you want to go to Vegas, we can do that. So there's no stopping us where we can get you around the world. Mouse Fan Travel is the Disney division. So we have specialists that know almost everything about Disney. And I will say almost because I know that the day I think I know everything, it changes. So we're under no illusion about knowing everything about any of the destinations, but we do our best. But one of the things we want to do with our company, the first one is I've always wanted to provide a place that people can work from home, be with their kids, set their own schedules, but do what they love, which is enjoy the passion for travel or for Disney or for some other people, walking tours of Europe or Royal Caribbean or other things that make that they're passionate about. Another is we wanted to support charities. And so every month we do have a certain percentage, and every quarter, a certain percentage of our profits always goes to a named charity. Okay. So that's one of the big pillars. And the third pillar is we want to support the Disney fan community because we can do so much more together. So when you find these great efforts like podcasters or good blogs or great information sites or people who just want to pull people together to do great things together as a group, you can't really do that when there's two or three of you, but when there's 500 of us, we can do some really cool, amazing things with Disney. So I've always wanted to support efforts such as yours because it costs money to do this. And a lot of people don't realize the time and effort and energy and cost that it comes down to producing a podcast or doing a great blog site. So that's what we're here to do, is support the fan efforts for those who are positive and really want to bring their love and passion forward.
I just want to say, from a personal standpoint, for us to have this step taken, but specifically with you, is something that if you told me a year and a half ago would happen, I probably wouldn't believe you. Mm-hmm. Like, all joking aside, I started listening, really the first podcast I started listening to was Lou. And so the first guest that I probably heard was either you or Corcus, maybe, someone like that. And to me, the fact that you have the trust in us tells me after a year and a half, we're doing an okay job. We're doing good. So we're going to try to do even better now, though, just because I always want to do better. But for us, I feel like we finally took a nice big step.
Yeah, well, thanks for mentioning WDW Radio because he does a fantastic job. He never gets to hear that I've said nice things about him.
He doesn't listen.
Okay, good. He is one of those wonderful people in the community that does the same thing. He encourages people to do what he does. He encourages people to follow their passion and their dreams and to tell their own story, which is very important because we could all talk about the same things over and over, but if you don't have it from your own perspective, you're not going to really do justice because it's just a bunch of noise out there saying the same thing. So I've seen him talk to people such as yourself and give advice on how he got to where he is, but it's not the same path. We're all going to take different paths to follow our passion. So that community is amazing. Those people are great. I love meeting with them. I love doing the in-person stuff. Yes, I love being the punching bag on Wednesdays, but sometimes I do actually get to punch back. So yeah, those are the times that are worth it.
No, without doubt. I mean, look, a lot of people listening right now, you found out about this show because, you know, when I was on Lou's show. And I'll never ever forget that, and I always hugely appreciate that. But we also take a certain pride in you didn't leave. You know, like that was one of the big things was, after being on Lou's show, we noticed, like, oh, a lot more people are listening. But the curious thing was, will they be here in a month?
Yeah.
And they've stuck, you know, they've stuck around, which is crazy.
The thing that's funny is I do get this a lot because I do sponsor a lot of different efforts, but it's not because you just find somebody and throw your banner on there. It's, you're, again, finding these efforts that you want to help support so that they can attain their goals. So, like you and I, we talked a lot about what you're trying to do and why you're trying to do it. And so you got to the next you got through the next gate, but there's it's really important for people to know that this isn't a competitive thing. This is a it's like radio or TV. You're not going to just watch one show on a channel all day. So there are different flavors that people bring into entertainment, and that's what radio or TV does.
Yeah.
So that's why I find different types of angles and different people who bring different perspectives. So it's almost like having one that's like drive time radio and another that is the evening radio and the other can Lou, the comedy hour. I mean, no. But it's neat to have so many different perspectives and so many different efforts out there to such great efforts for the Disney fan community to support.
And so, again, thank you very much. We're really excited about the next, all everything that's going to come up in the future. But actually, let's start talking about what's coming up in the near future. And what we're going to discuss tonight is some of the things overall that we are looking forward to and why you should come here in the fall. If I had to pick a time of year that is my favorite time of year to come down here, it is the fall, down to the, you know, we're at Walt Disney World Resort, obviously, right now. But there are very specific reasons also why I dig coming down here in the fall. And I know people listening right now, you already know a couple of them. But we're going to get to those. We're going to talk about some other stuff first. Mel, why don't you start us off with the notoriety of this year in particular?
Well, this year, 2016, it is the 45th anniversary of Magic Kingdom opening. So October 1st, they're going to actually start rolling out a bunch of special merchandise. They have, you know, clothing, pins, collectible mugs, the whole gamut. I actually put a couple pictures up in one of the Mouse Telegrams I did a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
About this. And there's special Junie and Burke bags. So
of course.
Of course there is. Which they look really nice, too. They're all blue, and blue is my favorite color. So
yeah.
They look really nice.
I really like the pass holder pin. It's the train emblem.
Yeah.
It's the Walt Disney World train emblem. That's going to be the pass holder pin for the 45th anniversary. So I'm going to grab that one, especially because we just did the train tour and all that good stuff.
It's like, wait a minute, there's a date and new merchandise? Shocking!
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously this is, you know, I don't even know if you want to call it a warm-up. We know that the big one is coming in 5 years, you know, the 50th anniversary, which is going to be here before you know it. And there's going to be a lot of stuff going on in between. Is it, what's up?
Yeah, it's like in 21, right?
Yeah, 2021.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm now just doing the math on the realization that that's also when we're going to get the next first ship is
that's
in 21.
Right.
Oh, you're right.
So, wow.
Oh,
that's
wow.
I can see an awesome press event coming up with that.
Yeah.
Wow, wow, the math comes together in a new ship, and wow.
Wouldn't it be something to be like be on a cruise and then come back to land during that anniversary?
Yeah, that's going to be pretty cool.
That would be pretty nuts. And then by that time, you're going to have your new parks. You know, you're going to obviously Pandora, Star Wars, Toy Story. Those are going to be realities by then. Hopefully.
Oh, we hope.
We hope, yeah. Actually, we...
At least Pandora, we can kind of bank on that.
Something will be working at Pandora. It's either going to be the greatest boneyard ever created or a great place to visit. So a lot coming up in 5 years. But, yeah, they're doing a little bit of a nod to the 45th anniversary. Some of like the more finer details, though, it does get cooler in the fall. I'm not going to say that September and October are cool yet, especially September and October is wishy-washy. You know what? November's kind of chancy. There's no fall. There's no fall.
He's like looking at me because, all right,
yeah.
I'm the person that's so, the heat and I don't get along well whatsoever. And you got to remember that Florida is very much in the range of the hurricane. So even if it doesn't get hit by one, which it hasn't been for several years, it does get the outer bands. So you do get a lot of humidity. So even if it's not as hot temperature-wise, that humidity level goes from 69% to 99%, and you walk outside and you could be dripping, or it could be a beautiful fall day in Florida. So you really are kind of throwing the dice.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where you have to really watch the weather and dress accordingly or pack accordingly to come down here. And then kind of think about working your planning around the parks, too, by the by the calendar that you're seeing in front of you at the weather.
Yeah.
And weather.com is your best friend. Or I think Blue Sky. No, there's one called
Weather Underground. Weather Underground,
yeah, Weather
is
Underground
really
is great.
Good, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're actually really, really good. Yeah, because me and Mel, we've been here, and I'm sure you've been here. Sometimes December, you're wearing a hoodie. Sometimes December, you're wearing shorts and a t-shirt. It changes all the time.
In December.
What?
I have pictures of me wearing a scarf and gloves.
That's embarrassing, actually.
It was cold.
But yeah, but we were still New Yorkers then. And
I
the
know.
Fact that you had gloves on ever in Florida.
When I wear my Uggs to the park, then you can start to...
Wow. You have to live stream it that if she ever does that, because that would be truly embarrassing on so many levels.
I would still say that there are less people. In the first couple of weeks of December, there's a lot of DVC members, though. It's one of the busier times for that.
Well, it's not so much them. Are you still talking December, or do you want to move back to September and work your way through it?
Let's work our way through
it. Okay,
yeah.
Perfect, and we'll talk about these individually. But what happened was you tend to see the drop-off when the kids go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
So the drop-off begins around August 16th, 17th.
Yeah.
And then that starts, it's still kind of packed until Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
Labor Day is when we know everybody's back in school, and the prices now start getting calmer. So they were always looking for something to do between September and October, because they were trying to fill that space and bring heads into beds. And so they've done a wonderful thing like expanding Food and Wine, which we'll get to in a minute.
Yeah.
But this is the longest season they've ever done Food and Wine, because they've got open hotel rooms.
Yeah.
So then... they also did, of course, the other things they've done in fall that we've talked about. But you move forward through that, there's a couple of holidays that pop up. Like, a lot of people go, why is it so crowded here that first week of November? It's because it's Jersey Week.
Jersey Week, yeah.
So a lot of people go, if you're listening in California, Jersey Week is like, what?
Yeah.
Why do they get a free pass for a week and we don't? It's because when the teachers are all having their conferences and everybody's pretty much out that entire week and they come to Disney. So that becomes another really hot week. It's not so much DVC. They do have members, things that are going on that week. But more than that, they also have Pop Warner. Pop Warner comes here consistently every year, the first or second week of December. So you'll see these rates just pop up like crazy, where before it used to be in the community we could say, the best time of year to ever go is the first 2 weeks of December. We should have stopped saying that about 6 years ago. Because,
secret went out.
Yeah, and it's not just that, because it was that combination of good weather and really low rates and holiday decorations all being up, and it's the perfect storm for somebody who's flexible in their schedule. And it's now become one of the most popular times to be here. And Pop Warner takes up a huge amount of the value resorts, which pops other people up into moderates and deluxes, which may not normally be there. So it does kind of get a little crowded now.
Yeah, it's, you know, the park's almost always busy.
Yes.
It's just always busy. It wasn't like that 10 years ago, maybe. But that's the reality of it now. You plan for it, and... while some of you may not like the ultra planning that you have to do sometimes when you come down here, it's a great benefit to do that, because it eliminates a lot of your running around, what are we going to do next time?
Yeah.
Which you'll lose a lot more time doing that than you will in the morning in your pajamas making your FastPass Plus. Like, if you know, you're going to lose a lot more time not knowing what to do next than you will planning out so you know what you're doing next.
Or,
it helps out.
Or it really helps to have a vacation planner that can help you with that, too. So you can... that's going to be the running commercial, because that's what we do, is we do help you with those types of decisions. But if you are on your own, or you're one of those mega planners that really wants to have your hands on it, because we have people all the time that say, I have this awesome Excel spreadsheet, and I know what I'm going to do every 5 minutes from here to there. But that's part of the fun, is the planning piece. So just as a side note, for us, we take you too. We get you.
Yeah.
And DVC owners too. There's a little trick for that I'll tell you sometime later too that we can help there. But if you're a mega planner, then what we do is we book you, and then we're the people who watch for the offer that comes out. So we'll call you and say, hey, the offer came out. We've already applied it, so you're not sitting on hold for 6 hours waiting for free dime. So we can help as much or as little. Or any vacation planner who is a Disney specialist can do so as well.
Okay.
So it's one of those things that if you are uber crazy planner, you can, it's got a double-edged sword here, because it doesn't allow you to be spontaneous, because then you feel like you're kind of wedged to those plans. But around here during those times, when you do have a little bit of flexibility, you're actually maybe ahead of the game.
Yeah, I know. I think playing out puts you ahead of, I'm okay with that. I think you should do it. Melissa, there was also, I mean, we usually do movies on this show. That's kind of like our bread and butter right now, is the Disney movies.
Yeah.
And you know that when we come down here, I like to go and spend an afternoon maybe, or a really late show like 11 o'clock. I like to go to the movies.
Yeah, because in the fall, you know, the parks do start closing earlier. You have holiday parties closing, Magic Kingdom early. Animal Kingdom is closing early because it's nighttime. And they're not doing that stuff right now for the fall. Epcot and Hollywood, still same thing. So sometimes the best place is Disney Springs and the movie theater.
And so just to highlight the flicks that are going to be coming out during the fall season, and actually Melissa pointed out, fall does go till December 21st. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's madness, but that's what it is. So we have three big releases coming out of Disney during this time. November 4th, we're going to have Doc Strange with Benedict Cumberbatch. There's interesting stuff going on right now with that, because Dan Harmon of Community is actually writing up some reshoots, pages that they're going to be doing. This is normal. I know that in the age of the internet, everyone likes to think of reshoots as like the death knell for a movie. This happens all the time. You just didn't know about it before. So don't worry about it. Same thing with Rogue One. The same thing with Suicide Squad, but that was a bigger problem unto itself. So I'm a little curious as to how much humor they want to pop in here, because the Strange trailers have felt a little different than the other Marvel ones. I would like it to stay that way.
Yeah, but I would also like to see Benedict Cumberbatch do a little bit of comedy, because when he does his dry humor, like in Sherlock, it's so perfect that I really enjoy that.
It is. Just don't give me Sherlock in a cape. Yeah, don't give me Sherlock in a cape.
He's worn a cape.
He sort of wears a cape. Don't, yeah. With magic, okay? Tilda Swinton. That's the difference.
Okay.
There's no... if Tilda Swinton shows up in Sherlock, actually, I'd really like that. That'd be kind of awesome. The other movie is from Disney Animation Studios. That is Moana. I love that I still don't know a lot about this movie, even though there has been a trailer. They haven't really shoved a lot of trailers out yet. You know, a movie that's coming out in December, I've seen a lot more footage of that movie. A movie that is coming out in December, I've seen a lot more footage of that film than I have of Moana, which comes out almost a month earlier. So I'm very happy with this. I don't like knowing a lot before I go into it. And I want this movie to be what I wanted Brave to be. Which actually, I saw Kubo and the Two Strings this week. That was the movie I wanted Brave to be, actually, as a matter of fact. Go see Kubo and the Two Strings. Studio Laka. Go see everything they make. It's incredible. So Moana is coming out. Actually, how much do you know about Moana outside of just the trailers?
I'm the same way. I don't really like to dive into it unless, you know, Chris Helmsworth is involved, and then I want to read all I can. But other than that, I like to be surprised. I will see a trailer just enough to go, okay, that looks good. So now I'm going to keep it at the back of my head, but I'm not going to go online. I'm not going to read the stuff. I want to go see it and judge it for myself.
Actually, and you know what? Someone asked me today that we hadn't done a review of Peach Dragon. I will say the only reason I didn't get to it is because I was away training for that thing. But Peach Dragon is yet another example in a really long-running set of examples of a movie poorly previewed. Poorly and promoted. You know, the previews and the promotions, very, very poor, but got critical acclaim. Disney's had a bad run of this so far. And we haven't seen a lot of Moana, but maybe we're just not going to see a lot of Moana.
But that's okay. I feel like I'm okay with it. You know, just the little bit of songs that I hear, the little bit of trailers that I see. I like the international trailer that I had put up, I think, in one of the earlier Mouse Telegrams. I think it was from Japan.
It was Japan,
and
yeah.
It was Baby Moana. She was adorable.
That's right. Yeah.
They
had me with Lin-Manuel Miranda doing the music. That was it. I don't care what it's about. I'll go see it. Then, of
working on all this stuff, or you want me to take it out of the way?
I'm good with this right now. Guys, I'm giving up on my pork sliders. A man has to eventually wave the white flag of surrender, and I have done it just now.
You did a good job on that.
Did I?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You can feed a small country with what you guys left on the plate.
Bring it out to the pool. Sure, they'll.
You need protein. That's enough to go.
That's all that matters. Then, of course, that was our lovely waitress. And then, of course.
Oh, some random woman that came up and just took all the food off.
She just wanted some pork just sliders. I don't know.
Got it.
Chips look good. Then, of course, December 16th is, I would say, the largest release of the year. Star Wars Rogue One. This is their first foray into getting away from the timeline films. A lot is riding on this because it will determine the future of other Star Wars story films, as I say that in quotes. Even though we're definitely going to get the Han Solo one, which if you didn't know...
They cast it, right?
Yes, but they just casted Lando.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Today,
the
yes,
cat didn't know?
The cat from Community, Glover. His last name's Glover.
Oh, yeah.
Donald Glover.
Okay.
Donald Glover is Lando in the Han Solo film.
Nice.
It's a great choice.
Yeah.
So
I've never watched Community, so I have no idea who this person is.
I really haven't either. I know him from other stuff. Okay. His hip hop, actually, weirdly enough. So that is coming out December 16th. There's something cool about seeing a Disney movie when you're in Disney. There's something about it. It's something that we've done since we've come down here, and there's a different vibe to it, especially if you're going to be here around opening weekend and stuff like that, especially with a film like Star Wars, because there's going to be a lot of fanfare going around there. I don't know if they're going to do anything special, any kind of screenings or whatnot. They sometimes do over at AMC with the DVC members. I'm sorry?
The D23 sometimes does that.
Or AP.
Or APs, yeah. So as soon as we find out anything, we'll let you know. Do you want to talk about the two restaurants that are supposed to open fall of 2016?
Yeah. We have Paddlefish in Disney Springs. They're saying late fall, so probably more November. But they've already been gutting that boat for weeks now. We were there
early
August, and they were ripping everything apart. So that'll be really cool. And then what?
And then what's the other one?
Pizza Rizzo. In Hollywood Studios.
Okay.
Which I'm excited about.
It can't get any worse.
Exactly.
It can only go up.
Well, all right, I'm going to back up to Paddlefish.
I want to tell you, Paddlefish.
Because I was just there, and I saw the brand new open, huge Disney Springs for the very first time in 98-degree heat and, 200 bazillion-degree humidity. And it was still, it's a skeleton.
Yeah.
So when you said late fall, if they have that together, then they've got elves somewhere that are going to come out in the middle of the night to be pounding away on that thing.
Cause
it is just skeleton of a frame.
Yeah, you can see straight through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a frame. So there's no walls to it. There's no nothing. It is a frame. So good luck with that, guys. If you got it, good luck. And that's awesome if you were able to pull it together that quick. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was beyond that.
And I was a big Fulton fan.
Were you?
I was when they had... The thing is, they changed their menu. I was a big fan of the crab claws, Alaskan crab claws. That was my go-to meal. When that left, I kind of was like, all right, now it's just a seafood joint.
Yeah, you know what? You know? My problem with it is that the seating was, again, too many people in one small space.
Yeah.
I think that and I was never comfortable there, so I could never really enjoy the meal because you felt like you were sitting on the lap of some person sitting next to you because your tables were squished together. And if you had to get up to go to the restroom, you felt like you were passing over somebody's food.
Yeah.
And so I've gone there maybe 3 or 4 times, and at that point I was like, every single time I was seated, you were always crammed in, never felt comfortable, and just went, you know what, I'm good.
Well, I wonder, since they obviously are gutting the entire joint, are they going to do a redesign in the way that the seating is fit, where the kitchen is, how that whole flow goes to that place? Because I liked when you were on the main deck in a way. I enjoyed the seating over there, but when we were here for our wedding, Melissa, we had a big dinner there with 12, 15 people. And if you were on the side of the table that was against the wall, like Becky was saying, if you had to leave to use a bathroom, 7 people had to get out of your way.
Yeah, it was quite cramped.
Yeah, so I can see how that was a thing.
Yeah, one of the things they started trying in many of the restaurants, because they were trying to have a lot of tables. They could turn over a lot of tickets, and they could turn over a lot of people, which is, good for the business side. But if you're not comfortable in that situation, it's not a good... Yeah, It's one of the things I remember when California Grill first reopened. They did that wonderful little thing where they put, I call it the New York approach, where they put two tables, a table of two, next to a table two, next to a table two, next to a table two, with a bench seating in the back, so you could pull them all together and do four, six, or eight, or a larger table if you needed to. But then it's very difficult to have this wonderful, romantic $100 plate dinner when you can hear the entire conversation of the person sitting literally 4 inches from you.
Yeah.
It's your Cheesecake Factory issue that
yep.
you hate.
That's what I hate about the Cheesecake Factory. Whenever we go there, we get put in, I call it the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't want to eat in a cafeteria. I want to eat at a table.
Yes.
But there's that long, there's those two long rows where it's just table, table, table. And I don't think that we're out at dinner. I feel like we're at a takeout joint. And I'm just waiting for the food. I just want the cheesecake at that point. I want to just leave.
For me, if you're paying that amount of money
yeah.
in a high-level restaurant, in a signature restaurant, I don't want to feel like I'm having dinner with six of my closest strange friends.
Yeah.
I want to have a romantic meal that I'm enjoying for that amount of money with the person I'm with or the people I'm with.
Yeah, so hopefully those concerns are... I'm also just really curious of... How do you differentiate yourself? Disney Springs is really expanding, and I love the expansion. There's a lot of different options down there. But I want a top-notch seafood joint. I really do.
But it does have the legacy and the history.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have been there who have enjoyed it, or way back when were there for the character breakfast that was there, even before I ever thought of coming to Walt Disney World. They're going to want to visit it and see it, and that's their chance to put on a good impression for the people who want to see the new one. If they put on a good show, people will be back.
And then we have, oh, yes, go ahead.
Well, speaking of Disney Springs and putting on a good show, just to kind of come really soon, Labor Day weekend, they're bringing back the Great Irish Hoolie at Raglan Road.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, which last year was a ton of fun. And
all right, let's go back for that.
Yeah.
Am I
going to
be here?
It's, yeah, the weekend before you leave.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's next weekend?
Yes.
Oh, let's go.
Explain a little bit about what that is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, basically, it's a big weekend at Raglan Road. They have special performers, bands. They have the dancers. They have special craft beers that are, you know, unique to Raglan Road. I think they have a couple local breweries that do some stuff for there. And, you know, besides just beer, they have drinks. I want to say whiskey. I'm not.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm going to say probably. Yeah.
I'm not big on the hard liquors there. But yeah, they have a ton of drinks and entertainment, and it's just a big, fun time for.
You know what?
Is that a separate ticket, or can you just go and it's happening during that time? Do you know?
There are special reservations that you have to make. So there is definitely, you should call if you want to find out if you are free. Let me pull it up. I have it.
Well, actually, I'm going to say while she's doing that, people who are local who are listening, if you are interested in doing this, you know what? We're going to definitely go. Reach out to us. Let us know. And we will set something up, and we'll all try to meet up somewhere down there. You know, and I can be a designated driver because I don't drink. Works out for everybody.
So
I'm sorry? You were saying the days.
What?
So those dates are, it's going to be begin, the performances begin at noon, Friday, September 2nd, through Monday, September 5th. And they're going to continue throughout each day and night. Reservations can be booked throughout the festival days by calling 407-938-0300. Or through the Raglan Road website, which you can just do a search on and you'll find as well.
Yes, and also during that time, we had gone for brunch, and they will be serving the Rollicking Brunch from 10 to 3 on Saturday and Sunday, which if you've never had brunch there, is amazing. And they do some special fun stuff around noon for here.
Right after we're done with this, you got to book us. Book us some time in the road. Oh, Raglan's. Because it's one of my favorite places to go, actually, in Disney Springs.
Yeah,
so I'm very excited about that.
That was really great.
Yeah, that was a really nice find. You know, let's shift over, though, to the other restaurant that is supposed to open by fall-ish. And that is Pizza Rizzo. I wanted to say Planet Rizzo. It's the movie where Grease is played 24/7. So Pizza Rizzo
is
in Hollywood. Oh, that would, you know what? Fine. You want to have a car ride that flies through the air for no apparent reason at the end? I'm game.
Turn and wave. Everybody turn and wave.
Pizza Rizzo is opening. It is taking place of, what was it called?
Pizza Planet.
I've tried to strike the words from my brain.
We went there once. I will say I was not a fan, to put it mildly. But
really, who was?
Was there anyone?
Okay.
Yeah.
Kids who like their pizza fast, and the parents are trying to just get them some pizza because they want pizza, sure. But if you're looking for a quality pizza experience, yeah, it definitely wasn't there.
Or even just like semi sort of, like, you know, it was bad. I would rather just get frozen pizza from the supermarket, but
it was not the best of quality.
Yes, it was not the best of quality. Pizza Rizzo's coming along, so they're doing pizza again, and everyone's big question is, are you doing anything different with the food you served before, or are you just changing the outside? You would think that there's going to be something different going into it. Blaze Pizza, while I didn't have like the perfect experience, I didn't think it was bad, and I do want to go back and try one of the other pizzas. I'm 100% set that I want to go back.
Make your own,
be a little more like, no, let's put some cheese on this pizza, you maniac. So I'm really curious as to whether or not I will ever, because we're going to go, because we kind of have to, but then I want to enjoy it.
Well, okay, and part of, you got to remember, part of this too is they do, it is quick serve location, so don't get any, you know, high and mighty ideas that this is going to be a awesome pizzeria that you're going to sit down and have a 2.5 hour meal in. However, I think you're going there for, I know that Disney listens to the feedback, and hopefully they have, you know, listened to the quality pizza scenario. But it is for families, and it is a quick service location, so you're going to get that pricing and that quality that goes along with that. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just not signature dining experience. But what you're getting there is the theme.
Yeah.
The rat owns the restaurant. Where have we heard that before?
Yeah, we've done this before.
And he did it really well.
The one on the boat is slightly different than this one, I think.
Ever so slightly. And, of course, in France, in the France Pavilion, when he was there before, which he's not there now. But still, the rat owns the place. And they have this scenario where they're calling the casual Italian-American dining experience in a whole new way. Through the eyes of the lovable, wise-cracking Muppet. So you know what you're going to get when you get Muppets.
Yeah.
There's going to be that theming in there. It's two stories.
Yeah.
There's going to be stuff going on. And Imagineering had a lot of great story to work with here. And if they don't take advantage of it, I would probably go in there and deal with whatever pizza they gave me just to see this location and the Muppets and the rat and sitting in the cheesy banquet room, which they have created,
nice,
along with the special booth designed just for Rizzo's celebrity friends.
Aww.
So I can tell that that's got a little bit of maybe a play on Brown Derby, where before they would bring you the, who knows what they're going to do with that. So if they've really pulled out this celebrity friends booth area, who knows what they're going to do when you bring in Muppets on top of it.
And so, like, I agree with you. It's a quick serve place, blah, blah, blah. So is every pizzeria in Manhattan. They're all quick serve. They're all very cheap. They're for families, but it's good pizza. So what I really want to see is I want to see, like, the type of pizza joint that I would just find.
All right, let me ask
That's
you.
What I
I'm
going
to play devil's advocate.
Good.
Not that I disagree with you, but I just kind of enjoy playing the other side.
Okay.
It's kind of fun. So would you then tolerate paying more, I mean, not just a little more, but more for that higher quality pizza you're talking about?
I guess if that's higher quality pizza, like me going into the pizza joint in Penn Station, like, with the huge slices, I think it's closed, actually. Surprise, surprise to anyone who ever worked or saw that place. Like, if you want to say it's going to be $4 a slice instead of $2 a slice, if that slice is going to have that same kind of taste,
okay,
quote unquote, as what I'm accustomed to in New York, absolutely, you got it.
Okay, great. Then let me ask you another question.
I'm going to say it in a different way. Was that too agreeable? Okay.
Well, because we have a thing called the dining plan here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if you do have a higher price point, that takes it off being a quick serve menu. So that takes away from possibly being on the dining plan in that format.
Okay.
That may not go over so well with the families who have small children who this is actually targeted for. Because it's not really... the location that was there before was definitely not targeted to those of us adults with a more finicky palate and experience with pizza in a different way.
That's the thing. We're talking about pizza here.
Yeah,
we're not
exactly
talking about, you know, clams and, you know, the finest of fillets.
I totally
just
with
pizza.
You. I totally agree.
To pizza.
You. And they can do it better.
They can do it better.
Property wide. But then again, almost any theme park I've ever been in could probably do pizza better than it does.
Yeah.
But we also know that it's a business and they're going to be looking at it from that perspective. So I'm hoping, and I think we're right along the same terms, I'm hoping that this comes out with great story, great theming, great decor, and a pizza that you can actually say, that wasn't bad.
Yeah. I want it to look like the pizzeria in Muppet Steak Manhattan. Like, I want it to have that feel. And then I want to see a man cut a pizza, like, you know, into 8 pizzas and then give me a slice. And then I want an Orange Julius and I want to go home.
Oh my gosh, you want a lot.
I do. Orange,
so
Orange Julius. Talk about, God, what was that store? I can't remember it. There used to be an Orange Julius in front of
we
this.
We still have them in Washington State.
What?
Yeah, we still have Orange Julius in Washington
State. Oh, wow.
State.
Is it weird living in the West?
Wow, really?
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Nothing?
I'm too young for this card.
Okay, no, wait a minute.
Oh, okay.
just because we're going to go totally off tangent. If I say the world ferals, do you know what that is?
No, I don't know ferals. No.
Everybody in... Please put your impression of Ferrell's in your show notes because, okay. or in your comments, because that was a place that was a Sunday soda fountain type location that you could have burgers and fries, but everybody in the entire West Coast did nothing but go to Ferrell's on their birthday.
Well, that was Friendly's for us.
Okay.
Which recently, boom, they didn't have, no,
okay.
They didn't have a zoo.
The zoo was like.
Because we're not insane.
It was like the kitchen sink on steroids.
Oh, I thought you literally meant a zoo.
No, it was called a zoo. And they would bring it out on a stretcher in this big, huge thing that was full of like a kitchen sink.
Oh my goodness.
We had the Fribble Challenge. The Fribble Challenge was if you could eat 3 Fribbles, you got them all free.
Oh,
but a Fribble is like an ultra-thick shake.
Yeah,
it was really great. But they were huge. They were like this big from the table. Sorry, radio people. They were like almost a foot large. And if you could finish 3 of them, you got them all for free. And then die. You know, that was usually what followed up. All right, so Pizza Rizzo,
man,
Gauntlet
totally
Throne, yeah.
Well, should we stay in Hollywood Studios?
Oh, yeah?
There is a special ticketed event in Hollywood Studios that's returning. I kind of want to do it.
What is it?
Club Villain.
Club Villain. Oh, my God. Wait a minute. I'm looking now at the zoo. All right, yeah. There are 5 bananas in there, an ungodly amount of plastic straws with
animals.
Spoons.
Yes, they have animals, so that's
okay.
Why they called it the zoo.
I got it.
But wait a minute, there's one better that these poor cast members or employees.
Oh, they look good. Oh, that's nice. Yeah, guys are actually bringing it out like on a wooden plank, sort of like a Roman emperor would have been brought out.
I like their outfits.
I like the outfits a lot. They've got sort of old-timey hat and bow tie outfits. I like that a lot.
Sorry, I had to take you back.
No, that's good.
You noticed the plastic movies? Everybody had to have plastic movies. It was a takeaway.
I'm going to put a picture up on that, actually, in the show notes.
Cool.
So everyone can see what we are talking about right now.
That is
Club
insane.
Villain. Club Villain is returning,
which
was a hit last year, if I remember correctly. Sort of.
Well, I think it's cool because your host is the doctor. Wrong rank.
He's gonna become a seaman later in his life. We don't know. Who's the leader?
Dr. Facilier.
One of my favorite Disney villains.
Yeah,
right off
I know. You and Brian both.
Yes.
Very much. So he's like your host for the evening, and then you get a bunch of other villains, Maleficent, the Evil Queen, Cruella de Vil. You get to eat and interact, and you have a ton of wonderful New Orleans themed food to enjoy. It's select Friday and Saturdays from September 2nd to October 29th, and also including October 31st. Special ticketed event. You do have to call for reservations. You can call 407-WDW-DINE. And
you ran out of steam there at the end, huh?
I got a little tired. It's also at 5:15 and 8:30. You can make either or reservation.
All right. You want to give that a whirl this year? We can give that a whirl this year. Why not?
I do, because I want to see Dr. Facilier.
I do. Yeah. No, I liked when we saw him
at the Halloween party.
Yeah.
I thought he was absolutely fantastic for the song and dance part. I don't know if that was him singing. It sounded like Keith David just piped in. But the look and the movement of the cast member doing that was really on point. Really, really on point. Do you guys want to go to the big festival? Or do we have anything other that we wanted to jump into minorly before we get to that? Because
that's the big one. That really is the thing that so many people are targeting. And it's so popular and has been for so many years that every time they look upon the schedule for the next one, they expand it.
Yeah.
And like we said, this time it is the longest ever. It's September 14th to November 14th this year, which is... That's insane for the amount of things and activities and events and what was it? Booze boot camp or beverage boot camp and all the wild things that they come up with every year. And there's also a chocolate thing and
They have a bunch of new booths this year.
Yeah.
Number one on that list due to Alphabet was Chocolate Studio. It was, though. It was just, I have them in alphabetical order. Now, I'm not saying it's not the top one. It's just that I realized. I was like, oh, yeah. Just to give you an idea of what they're going to have here, red wine, chocolate truffle, Ghirardelli, chocolate raspberry tort.
There's something wrong with that. Again, just going back to the beginning, but move on.
Oh, God. liquid nitro chocolate almond truffle with warm whiskey caramel. I've never done, like, the liquid frozen stuff. I don't know how that is. I don't know if that's what that means. I don't even know.
Well, it sounds fantastic.
It does sound fantastic.
Got chocolate and caramel in there, and you squish anything out, you're good.
Yeah, I will definitely check that out.
Check that out. It has whiskey in it. I'll check that out.
It has whiskey, caramel. You know what that means when they have... It means that it has a... Yeah, it's a hint of... the tattoos won't fall off if I have that. We'll be fine. I may not like it, yeah. Islands of the Caribbean is another one that's opening up. This is going to feature for the food Jamaican beef patty, mojo pork with black beans, cilantro rice, and pickled red onions, pescado con coco, which is seared grouper, pigeon peas, and rice with coconut sauce. That sounds really good.
Pigeon peas. Let's talk about that for
I don't know what that is, actually.
I'm not sure about that the way it sounds.
I'm gonna just eat it and not think about it.
Okay.
But
yeah. That's like... Oh,
someone needs
give
to
it
think.
To Peter, he'll eat anything. Is that what we're saying? Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, I'm good with that, actually. and then quesito is a puff pastry with sweetened cream cheese and guava sauce. So that is all at the new Islands of the Caribbean or Caribbean, whichever which way is the correct way. I never say it right. Do you know what is the right way of saying that?
Either works,
yeah, right?
It's like a different dialect. So
okay.
Caribbean.
The
one that is correct is key. Not K. It is Key. Castaway Key. Castaway
yes,
K.
Oh, yes. That's right. Yeah,
that
yeah.
I do know.
That's true.
Yeah, we learned that after our first cruise.
Yeah. The next one that is new is Greenhouse Guru, hosted by Village Farms. This is going to feature chilled tomato gazpacho with lump crab meat, duck confit with creamy polenta and fire-roasted salsa, heirloom tomato salad with goat cheese, aged balsamic vinegar, and micro basil. So salad, whatever.
Sounds good.
Of course. And then mini San Marzano tomatoes. And even more so, there is a wine and dine studio where you can sample signature dishes along with wines and whatnot from the Golden State's renowned vineyards. So this seems a little more than just your regular pop-up stand. Is this more than that?
Yeah. You know, I was trying to look for it myself because I know that some of these are ticketed.
Yeah.
So they're different things to food and wine. And I'm not sure if there's anybody out there who have never done it before, but there are different levels of experiencing food and wine. And you can come in and just go to the kiosks that are around World Showcase and you can... have fun and adventure and eat things that you like, eat things that you have no idea what they are, and eat things that you go, oh, I don't like this at all, but they're bites. They're small portions. But you can really have a good meal if you hit the ones that you like and kind of do some planning. then they have these special culinary scenarios where some of them are free. You can go in and you can experience the demonstrations. There are others that are hard ticket events, like if you're going to do one of the chocolate things or one of the beverage events, you have to make reservations beforehand. There's an extra charge for them, but there's always a lot of substance to them. So there's lots of options to explore and taste and eat your way and drink your way through the 8 weeks that are Food and Wine.
Yeah, you can go numerous nights and never have the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. The ones that I just listed, though, those were under the new booths.
Are they under the
booths? Yeah, just regular booths. The last one that I got to, the Wine and Dine Studio, that was also under the booths. But that seems interestingly higher, because this is, again, just a choice of four. It's a pork tenderloin with cannellini bean. This is the Wine and Dine Studio.
Right. Isn't that the one that is California-based? I thought it was more
This is the one that's California-based,
okay.
Yeah.
So that makes sense, because they're doing signature dishes along the medley of wines hailing from the Golden State. So it seems like one of those specialty kiosks rather than a location or a country.
Yeah.
So yes, it looks like, thank you for clarifying that other one being a kiosk, because I was not aware of that.
Yeah, so those are awesome. Actually just going to be kiosks.
Wow.
So
just walk right up and get your $5 piece. And, oh, by the way,
oh yeah,
the Magic Band is the best thing ever.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Or the most dangerous thing ever when it comes to these, because you have to go to the kiosk and pay, which is easy to do, where before you had the gift card that you put around your wrist, which was the best tip ever.
Yeah.
But if
yes.
you have the ability to charge your Magic Band, do it, because otherwise you're walking around with food and wine in your hand, and it's hard to get in your purse or in your wallet every 2 seconds to pull out money. But these got some amazing choices on them, and again, they're not huge portions, so you can taste and check it out and move through it slowly, or you can say, you know what, I want the conundrum, and I want the Kurt Russell Goji Tiger Pinot, and I want the Zinfandel. So, I mean, they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different wines that they are featuring that are coming from
the Wine
the
and
Golden
Dine
State. Yeah.
Just from that one place.
Yeah.
Which is great. Melissa, did you have something to say? I'm sorry.
Well, just to go with how Food and Wine is getting bigger and bigger and going with the special stuff, they've actually taken space up over in the Contemporary for one of their new creative classes that they are working on, where again, select dates, this is a reservation, a ticketed event where you get to now not only eat the food, but you get to make the food. And there was one that I got the reservation a little too late for. It was definitely full by the time I looked, but it was making sushi with Iron Chef Morimoto. Like,
what was the price tag on that, though?
I didn't even look, because I was
disappointed.
I
wouldn't have cared.
Because I couldn't go.
Yeah, I actually wouldn't have cared. I would have done it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have cared. Yeah, if it was available, we would have done that one. You know what, though? Hopefully, he'll do that next year. Hopefully, obviously, it sold very, very quickly, very, very well. They'll probably be back next year, and now we'll know to keep an ear to a grindstone to try to get that one ahead of time. Oh, by the way, we're talking about Food and Wine Fest.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case anyone didn't catch that, feel like we never said that, actually. We just got right into the food part.
No, I think we did. Well,
yeah.
I guess there was wine.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think we said food
We
wine.
May have. I don't know.
Yeah, roll it back.
Along with all the new ones, I'm just going to say some of my old favorites. The kimchi dog at South Korea is returning. Hawaii with the Kalua pork slider with sweet and sour Dole apple chutney. That's going to be coming back. And then you do also have the Eats to the Beats concert series coming up with, it's, you know what,
yes, oh
this
gosh.
This is pretty funny, though, because on the website, when you go look at these, it all has the band names and then, like, featuring their song, blah, 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 or, you know, famous for this song. So it kind of speaks a lot to the lineup, but have you, Soul Asylum? Like...
Well, you know,
I want to see Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, though.
No, I want to see Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, but they're usually here.
Yeah, yeah.
Soul
yeah.
Asylum, though.
Okay, but
what
come
an
on.
Interesting
Wang
pick.
Chung, okay? Wang yeah. Chung is coming. Starship is coming back again. Air Supply, Fuel, which I haven't seen them here before. Los Lobos, we've seen them. Wilson Phillips, which I love Wilson Phillips. I'm sorry.
The original trio? Is it like the originals?
It's known for their song Hold On. That's a really good question. 38 Special.
Yeah, interesting.
And I'm okay with that. This is it. Dennis DeYoung coming back again, who was the original singer for Styx.
Oh, okay. All
so
right.
So him on his own, Christopher Cross, which, so it's really neat to kind of see. Here's one for you. Toad in the Wet Sprocket.
Yeah, that's not actually the one. Yeah,
but for some people, it's going to... Or
Blues Living, Traveler.
Living Color.
That I really just want to go and wear a CM Punk shirt for all my wrestling fans.
No.
I know you're going to love it.
You can't fool me. You want to see Hanson. I know it. I can see in your eyes.
I will see. I'll tell you. I will see Blues Traveler, Living Color, Soul Asylum, because I didn't know they were even a thing.
Hold the phone.
Yes.
They're going to have to set up a mall because Tiffany's coming.
Yeah, right?
We're all going to have to get up there and get our Jordache jeans back again and rock with Tiffany. Now, I do love her. She really has stood the test of time for the songs that she had. So hats off to her for doing this, because it really is a cool venue.
And then get your chain wallets ready, because Big Bad Voodoo Daddy is playing.
Exactly.
Which, look, I've paid actual money to go see Big Bad Voodoo Daddy back in the 90s. So I guess I should go see them at Epcot. And then question all my choices. What? You know one of these people?
I do.
Aw, good for you.
They're new. They're plain white tees.
I don't even know what that means.
They're known for their song, Hey There, Delilah.
Oh, I hate that song. Oh my God, I hate that song.
Why? Is there a problem with it?
Yeah, because there's another song called Delilah, and it's kind of awesome. Because Tom Jones is throwing his panties at people. And then this thing, Tom Jones, thumbs up.
Are you now showing your age? Are you just...
No. I'm 37. I don't care. I'll buy that Tom Jones record if I can.
No, the part about having a guy that throws his panties.
Hey, actually, great song about that song, Delilah.
Yep.
My parents had a live band at their wedding, as kind of was the thing, I guess, back then. They had... That's true, though.
Wow.
Pretty sure Gina had a live band. Just saying.
Yeah, well, under certain budgets, yes, you too can have a live band. They had a guy who did, like, the whole Tom Jones thing and sang Delilah, like, for their wedding, and he was just, like, patting his head because of his sweat and everything, and I always wish that there was a video existing of that. Beyond the Eats to the Beats, oh, yes.
Oh, well, yeah,
Beyond
the
Eats,
I'm
done?
Still going back to the kiosk, because we haven't touched on any of those centerpieces that if you can't see anything else that looks good, and your friends don't try to spoon feed you escargot when you really don't want it, there are other places to enjoy. That's a long story right there. And yes, that was live on WDW Radio, and I was really happy about that. You shouldn't eat snails. I'm sorry. Anything with more or less than two
feet. It's a weird thing.
Yeah. Desserts and champagne.
Mm.
That is one of my favorite kiosks.
That's where you get the s'mores thing.
Do they? Actually, I looked. I didn't see the frozen s'more on that menu anymore, though.
Well, it says includes, but you never know what they might add or bring back if there was. But this one's got, of course, the Dom Pignon, so you can enjoy that. The hard soda floats with vanilla serve, which is alcoholic. Whoa. And I'm not kidding, and I am not just cursing to curse, but it says the best damn hard root beer float.
Oh, is that alcoholic too?
Darn yes. I would say so if it's the hard root beer float, yes.
Oh,
hard
orange
cream float. Hard cherry coke float. I think I'm going to live at this place.
That's actually a bottled one, I'm pretty sure.
Well,
isn't that the root beer one?
Like, because they do make the hard root beer, but I didn't know if it was made with one of the brands in particular. But then she started saying the cherry one, so I don't know if they're just doing, if they're adding stuff to something.
Yeah, and they do have non-alcoholic versions as well. Soda floats with vanilla soft serve, Coca-Cola, grape Fanta, and strawberry. As well.
I will be honest. This is the one time of year I kind of do wish I drank a little bit, just because of the food pairings. Because I'm a big food, you know. It's like I'm always curious of what enhancement I might be missing.
Yeah, please don't start because we need a driver.
Yeah, so, no, I can't because I don't know how to stop anything.
A couple things that people really do love and have loved for the past few years, like Le Cellier, they always have their little piece of filet mignon with the truffle butter sauce.
Yes.
And then the wild mushroom that they have on top, which is really nice, too.
The only place I'll have soup at when it's 95 degrees also.
Yeah, pretty much. Is that cheddar cheese soup? Did they put it
cheddar
on this year?
Soup.
Yes,
it's
they
there.
Do.
Yeah.
The Chew Collective, because the people from the Chew are showing up, and they do have a hard-ticketed thing, I believe, but it might just be a demonstration. I have to look to make sure. But then you do have a kiosk is going to be set up with their collective menus, and which includes ricotta, zucchini ravioli with rustic tomato sauce, which sounds amazing, grilled beef skewer with romaine, apricots, and feta cheese. That's got an interesting sweet to savory. Peanut butter and white chocolate mousse with a caramel drizzle.
Bring it.
Yep, I was going to say that's like all about us. The other one that I love that I always go to, and I always get the, well, I'll go try something new, but I can't. Because it's so good, Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yep.
You gotta go to Ireland. You gotta have the seafood fisherman's pie.
Yes.
And personally, I do like a shepherd's pie. That's really good. The one that's in UK is really good. But a seafood fisherman's pie is really awesome. They always have the cheese selection plate, which has all kinds of wonderful cheddars and yum. But of course, it's all about the warm chocolate pudding with the Irish cream liqueur custard. I don't care how hot it is, the warm custard out of that, and it's a lava cake. They call it lava. Well, they used to, but they don't here now for some reason on what I'm reading. But that is fantastic.
They got so much good stuff, and I always try to pace myself, but then as I go to each booth, I'm like, well, I gotta get that. And then I go to the next boot, and I'm like, I got to get that, too. I mean, I'm here.
No, what really happens, though, is you're targeted. Say you're targeted Ireland, and you are heading to Ireland, and that is where you're going because you know you want that shepherd's pie or that fisherman's pie. And all of a sudden, you smell something else, which makes you stop in your tracks to turn around and look at where that wonderful smell is coming from, which makes you go over to that kiosk, look at the menu, and go, oh, my gosh, I have to try that. So there's just so much variety, and this is a great place, especially for people who always felt that they were finicky eaters, to come and try some things, because you're not buying big entrees. You're not investing $40-$50 in an entree.
Yeah.
You can invest anywhere from, they're usually around $2 to $5.
Yeah,
typical. Sometimes they go a little higher, but you have this bite, and you can go, you know what? I've always wanted to try that, but I was kind of scared to because the money and the size, give it a shot. And you might go, you know what? I really like that. And then you're not as intimidated.
I'm trying to think. I think one of the more expensive ones that I remember seeing was the lobster roll at Hops and Barley near the American Pavilion. I think that was
$7. Yeah,
it's about $7. But that was also a larger portion.
Yeah, and it was decent sized sandwich.
Yeah,
like,
it was a decent size. Like it was a decent sized thing there. Is this? I mean, this is my favorite time of year here. Is there competition for you, or is this your favorite time of year?
Oh, I'm a fall girl.
Yeah. I'm a
Libra. I am born right at the fall solstice. I'm born on September 23rd, so I'm a fall baby, and I love the weather. I like it when it's a little cooler, when it's really fall. I like it when the trees do actually change color and not that somebody from DG has come in and sprinkled fall leaves. So I do like to see the seasons. But to be here, and there's so much going on at the same time, but between Halloween and food and wine and the Christmas season, it all rolls together. Yeah. And it's really my favorite time of year to be here.
Yeah, and I'm happy that the food and wine is going. Look, man, you want to extend it more? Go ahead. No one's going to complain.
Well, that's why they have Flower and Garden.
Yeah, Flower and Garden has become a mini food and wine.
Here, I'm going to argue with you for a second.
I have a good argument against why I wouldn't want that, actually.
You know, I like that it is contained in a certain season.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you can plan a good vacation around this as an event.
Yeah.
And if it starts getting too long, then it's not going to be as special as it is. You might not be able to draw the talent that you do during this time if you really kind of spread it out. And then it doesn't separate what other things that are going on. So I do like to, I like the variety of being able to get here and it's fall and all of a sudden food and wine ends and you go to your last not so scary Halloween party, and the next day you wake up and it's Christmas.
Yeah, it's Christmas.
And it's still odd to me, but I've witnessed it pretty much every year, either in land or world, and it's still like, wait, what? Hold on. And then it's too quick. Christmas is too quick.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like if you do that with something like food and wine, which is such a huge part of what we experience here, I wouldn't want it. I want it to be special. It's like Christmas Day. You love Christmas and the Christmas season, but you don't really want it to go on forever. Right?
Yeah. I guess my one tip, though, if you're going to come here for food and wine, plan your stuff. Try to do it during the week.
Yeah.
The weekend can not only get much busier, but it can also bring out a crowd that normally doesn't come to Disney, and their main goal is to, whatever their goal is, the end result is kind of obnoxious.
I will say, though, that the security has been doing a much better job over the past couple of years of kind of clamping down on people who are overdoing it. But so, you know, don't feel that you can't bring your family here. But to your point, because also crowds, because you get the locals to come out here on weekends as well, because it's really popular with the locals. Your best strategy is to do Epcot and Food and Wine Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then do the other parks, like Monday, go to Magic Kingdom, do the other parks on Saturday, Sunday, and then you're going to have the least amount of crowds and probably the best experience.
Yeah, and 100% I would agree with that. I think that there's no argument in that at all.
Yeah, and if you're here and doing, like, the Mickey's Not So Scary party during the time, you know, do that on, say, like, also maybe Tuesday or Thursday, and then your weekend you could spend at Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios, and those will be the least crowded parks.
Right.
Yeah.
And I would also say, really quickly, I know that we're going to spin into the not so scary, but another tip that we do, because you're paying for that party ticket, and you also have a park ticket because you have so many days. But we tell people, because on that party ticket, you can get it in at 4 p.m., right? So that day, don't go to the parks that day. Use that day as your pool day at the resort. Enjoy the resort, so that way you have a full park ticket day that you can add later on. Enjoy the resort, enjoy the pool, hang out, relax, go to the spa, whatever you're going to do. And then at 4 o'clock, go do your party.
Yeah, and then you get, like, what, 3 hours or so before the actual party starts?
Yeah, they usually start about 7.
And then it goes from 7 to 11, or is it midnight now?
Midnight, I think.
I think it's midnight,
I think
yeah.
It's going to midnight, but, you know, in past years,
goes
it's gone
fast.
It's gone as long as, like, 1 or 2 a.m. in the past, so it has kind of scaled down. I think. Do not quote me. Don't write to me if I'm wrong.
You can find her at...
Yeah, exactly. You can find me at lou@wdwradio.com.
There were two other... I mean, I know there's a lot of parties and there's a lot of things you can go to. Two of them I just wanted to take a quick note for was the Rockin' Burger Block Party.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to do that this year. Yeah, I want to try it out. I'm a big burger person. I like trying out different types of burgers. I loved one of my old things that I did enjoy being in San Francisco was finding all these different burger joints that were literally just like burger joints. So I'm going to do that. And then, of course, their big one is Party for the Senses, which we've never done, and you have. And how was that?
Make sure you haven't eaten that day.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. It's like all a bunch of kiosks in a... I like the way... I haven't seen what they're doing this year. So I'm hesitating a bit because I don't want to say, oh my gosh, this is what they do, because it changes sometimes. The last time that I attended, they had different parties, had different themes. So one had a Caribbean theme, one had a seafood theme, one had a Mexican theme. So you really did get a great rounded taste and flavors from that theme for each party. But it's held in a huge venue, and there are hundreds of people in there, but there are tons of little kiosks and little food stations that you get bites, much like as you're walking around the World Showcase to get bites from the kiosks there. And it's got entertainment and lighting and fog and effects, and you really feel like you're in a party atmosphere.
I want to do it.
We've
heard that. And like, what, last year wasn't Cirque du Soleil part of the show, or was it year before?
I did not attend last year, so I'm not sure.
Okay.
The ones I attended did not have Cirque du Soleil, but they had other types of entertainment on that scale.
Okay.
So you're gonna be in for a good show. Put it this way, there's a a lot of things that I look at the ticket prices when they get high, because that is one of the higher end experiences that you do during Food and Wine.
Yeah.
I walked out of there feeling like I got my money's worth.
Oh, that's great though.
Yeah.
Then that's really all that matters ultimately. And so let's go on to our final kind of subject for the fall. And I mean, hey, you know what? We don't have to do a Food and Wine episode anymore, evidently. Also,
besides the one where I eat everything and tell everyone all about
it. Oh yeah, no, that's a whole nother thing. Us eating is a different show.
Yeah.
Talking about eating is one; actual eating is another one. To kind of wrap things up is my personal favorite party that they do around these parts, and that is the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Number of dates through September and October. I'll rattle them off for you really quick. September, it's the 2nd, the 8th, the 11th, the 13th, 16th, 18th, 20th, 23rd, 25th, 29th, and 30th. For October, 2nd, 4th, 6th, 7th, 10th, 11th, 13th, 14th, 16th, 18th, 20th, 21, 23, 25, 27, 28, 30, 31. Those are the lost numbers. And congratulations to whoever won the lottery. So those are your dates. There's a lot of them.
I think they're mostly like Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I believe so, yeah. This is my personal favorite. We've done actually a show where we kind of pitted the Halloween party versus the Christmas party.
I lost that show.
Yeah, because Halloween's the best, yes. This is, I do, you know what though, before we really go into it though, I think we should just talk about really quick, a lot has been made about costumes.
Yes.
And so I have here the rules for costuming this year. So for guests ages 13 and under, they kind of have a lot more leeway. Costumes and some masks may be worn.
Some?
It says some. I think it's going to be up to the cast member and security as they're coming in. As long as the mask does not cover the entire face and eyes are visible. So that cuts down a lot of the mask part, but I guess maybe if you were wearing, the Lone Ranger's, you know, eye mask,
yeah,
you know, that would be something. Or the Incredibles. That's a better example, because no one saw the Lone Ranger. That would probably fall into there, and you would be okay. So keep that in mind. Now, here's where it gets a little more detailed is for guests 14 and older, because people get much more detailed in their costumes. Layered costumes or costume props that surround the entire body are strongly discouraged and may be subject to additional security screening.
Okay.
So what they are saying is you are not allowed, but you are putting yourself in a position where you might not be allowed. So be smart about what you're doing. And the props thing is going to come up later. They actually kind of mention it in two ways. Second, costumes may not reach or drag on the ground. I want to say this was a rule before. Before they kind of implemented all this, yeah.
Things getting caught and stuff.
Capes may be worn if the length does not go below the waist. Yeah, but funny enough, the no capes thing. But it can't go below the waist. That's a limited number. It's like Batgirl, and that's about it. Everyone else, you're going to look kind of silly. I think that's for the... women can now still get away with a cape. I don't know. A dude with a cape that doesn't go below the waist?
Lando.
Lando? No. Lando has a huge...
No.
It's not that long.
No, it's not.
It's like to the butt-ish.
Yeah, all right, okay. Oh, yeah, you're right. It is out to the butt, yeah. I don't know why. I saw a grown man wearing that for a whole couple of days. You think it would stuck in
my
mind, actually.
Right there. I had to look at it a lot, therefore. Put it this way. Wait a minute.
His hell of a costume, though.
Lando's cape itself, the real Lando, was long. His was not correct, because that is...
Okay, thank you. That's what I'm thinking
his
of.
His was kind of on the shorter side.
All right.
Maybe it's, we thought it was shorter because his...
Maybe it was. Again, he doesn't listen, so we're fine. We're in the clear.
You're not listening.
Themed T-shirts, blouses, sweatshirts, and hats are acceptable. Mm-hmm. What's not acceptable, though, is wearing a sweatshirt in 90-degree heat. You're an insane person if you're doing that. I saw somebody at Universal Studios yesterday in full Slytherin gear with the scarf. And I was like, man, you are dedicated. You're probably going to die, but you're really dedicated. Yeah. And then this is a little more.
acceptable accessories include transparent wings, so specifically strange, plastic lightsabers, which, you, I mean, look, you can't say, hey, we got this, and then nothing. Toy swords, and tuthis?
Tutus. Are you kidding me?
Nope.
Really?
That was the real.
Tutus?
Tutus. I was thinking of Titus from Shakespeare.
You
know what? No, I'm okay that I'm okay that I've never recognized tutus. headgear. Nope. Headwear may be worn as long as it does not cover the face. And then they kind of double down. May not wear masks of any kind.
Right.
So even if you want to go as the Incredibles family, no masks. So you know what you could be? You could be Spider-Man from all the films because all he does is take the damn mask off.
I do kind of want to point out that the acceptable accessories are all those that are actually for sale in the stores on Main Street.
Yeah,
so
that's
when
a
they were saying transparent wings, those are for sale. So there you
okay.
go. So if you need to build your costume and somebody buys something, they don't want to tell them that they can't wear them. So that was actually really good. And the may not wear masks of any kind. You know, in the day and age that we're in, while some of this does kind of put a damper on our creativity, I understand why they need to do it.
Is that about face paint?
Probably not.
So, like, if you could do the Incredibles, but you, like, you could just do like a black, the black.
Yeah, I don't think you can go like Al Jolson, but yeah,
don't get that reference.
Really? Mm-hmm. You know what? My tutus thing is not an issue.
Wait, what?
Don't worry, I'll Ted Danson her later.
Okay.
This is another second.
That I get.
Oh, you get that reference?
Yeah.
He was doing an Al Jolson.
Oh, okay.
Which is not a good thing to do. People listening,
moving on.
Don't do that.
Moving on. Bad idea. Bad.
All right, so
bad.
What else though does this night include? It includes, again, my favorite parade, the Mickey's Boo to You Halloween Parade.
That is so
best
good.
Parade ever.
Yeah.
Ever. The grave diggers. I mean,
awesome.
I wait for those guys. If I'm walking through, because I typically don't try to stop and sit on the curb and find a place for the parade. And if I do, then I have somebody with a kid that goes right in front of me and I can't see anything. I am so short. And I just want to find a spot just to watch them and do their dance and hit those the shovels on
yeah.
on the pavement. And it just, and the sparks fly. It's
yeah.
really exciting to hear. And that song that plays for the entire parade.
It does play for the entire.
It is an
but
earworm.
But it's a good song.
It's a great song. It's an earworm that lasts there forever.
Yeah.
Happy
Halloween.
And it's there. Oh, great. Now I'm going to be singing it. Going, it's like, it's not.
I was really excited when we went. I think it was maybe my first time doing it. That was when I first got to see Vanellope and Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
You know?
Last time. I think it was last year or 2 years ago now that we went, 2014 maybe.
Something
yeah.
like that.
She actually had the car.
Yep.
That was
She's got her car, which makes total sense. Like,
you were also talking about costumes, though, really quickly, and I'm going to go back to that just
yeah, go
to
right
touch
ahead.
On before
yes.
I forget. Because you got to understand that Disney does reserve the right to deny admission to anybody. Or deny or remove any person's attire. Like they say, you know what, that is covering your face, and we say masks, but you may have drawn that on. They may say, you know what, that's defeating the purpose, so please, you're going to have to remove that.
Yeah.
Please understand. You know, don't give the security people too much grief over it, because they're just doing their job to keep everybody safe.
Yeah.
And most of it is, you know, if they consider it inappropriate or that it could detract from the experience of the guest is kind of what they're shooting for, because they want to keep it family friendly. So sometimes there's a line. What are you looking at me?
Nothing. I heard the singing choir in the background.
It's all the TVs are in sync right now.
I thought we were all about to drink Kool-Aid or something.
So anyway, they also have the scenario, and a lot of people wonder about this, because guests may dress as their favorite character, but may not pose for pictures or sign autographs for other guests.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't understand why. And it's because the Disney, as we all know, are very protective of their characters and how they present themselves, and that they have to be a certain, they have to appear a certain way and act a certain way and talk a certain way. So if they have guests that are pretending there might be a little girl who might think that that really is Snow White and go running up and expect that same experience. So understand that dress like your favorite character, but please don't try to get a line started for you.
Yeah.
Because that is something that they will ask you to please leave the park if you're...
Also, you know, as in a good way, though, that's sort of where Disney Bounden was born.
Yeah.
Was, you know, through that. So it kind of actually wound up thing. I got to say, with how hardcore they could have gone with rules towards this, because I remember when certain events happened, there was like, there are no more costumes allowed. Like, that was it. It was done. These rules seem to me pretty fine. They don't seem very intrusive. And just play by the rules, and you'll be okay. You know, the first one is maybe a little tough to... figure out, you know, the layered costume thing, like how much can and can't you go?
Yeah,
but just
do?
Be smart about it. Yeah.
Be smart, but also be aware that you might be just pulled to the side for additional screening. And again, just understand that they're doing their job. They're just wanting to make sure that everybody remains safe and that nothing makes it into the park that shouldn't be there. So, and I know it's tough because I travel a lot and I go through airport security and I get pulled over to the side a lot. And for me, I just go, you know, thank you for making sure. I appreciate that as a traveler. So I know that I know several of the security guards that are here, and sometimes they do take a lot of grief for doing the job to keep us safe.
Yeah.
So this is probably one of their most difficult scenarios because they don't want to disappoint kids who have really loved their character and they want to look like them, and the parents who have spent money to make the kids or themselves look really good. And sometimes they have to say, you know, that just doesn't meet the guidelines. So just have an understanding. If you're going to do layers, they may just pull you aside, ask you to remove something just to show them you've got nothing under it. Just be understanding, and everybody's going to be safe and have a great time.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, I think that at this point, again, I don't think they're asking for a lot. You know, I was actually pulled out of security when I was flying back. That's because I had, like, two laptops. I had a laptop, two iPads, I don't know, 10 charging cables, you know, and all of this stuff in a backpack doesn't look great, evidently. But I understood completely, and just don't give the people grief, because guess what? They can give you more grief.
Oh, yes. And really quick, let's talk about the most important thing that means costumes and Halloween. The candy.
Yes.
The trick-or-treat stations, which I have sadly one or two times actually went overweight on my bag taking a candy home. But, you know, what can you say?
As adults, we don't have many places to go anymore where we can get away with this.
Yes.
This is one of
them. I'm not going to go to my neighbor's door and go, trick or treat, I still like it, so do you, it's okay. So it is kind of awesome to be able to go through these trick or treat stations and see all the costumes. It's a great place to people watch.
Yeah.
And all these people, some of them just go, they watch the parade, they don't do any rides, and all they're doing is going to all the trick or treat stations and people watching.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I end up doing.
That kind of sounds like a good plan, maybe.
Yeah.
I do, you know, but the parade is amazing. We also get, of course, you get the Headless Horseman running through, which if you heard our review of Toad and Sleepy Hollow, you know how much I feel like that was still the movie that we all enjoyed the most. Yeah. I don't know why, but that seems to be a winner right now. The Hocus Pocus Villain Spectacular is coming back. That was a big hit last year. We didn't get to see it. I'm looking forward to seeing it this year.
Sanderson Sisters.
Yes, and we're going to actually, I'll tell you guys right now, we're going to be there September what?
22nd?
Is that right? Is that right? We'll double check on that. I will put it in the thing, because I also know we're doing Halloween Horror Nights one of those weekends very soon.
Did you double-book yourself?
I may have. It's kind of something I do a lot. And then to top it all off, we have Happy Hollow Wishes, which is a phenomenal fireworks show. It is worth finding a good spot for. Now, this is the thing. You might feel while you're at this party that you spend the second half of the party waiting just to see a parade and fireworks. You can see these stuff. You can see these fireworks from a lot of different places. I don't really think that you should feel locked in.
Expansion of the hub in front of the castle, it does make a lot more room for viewing, and
absolutely,
I really do feel like you do want to be around that area just because of the 180 degrees. You get that whole feel while you're up there.
Yeah.
You don't have to be on top of the castle. You can be back by like Casey's.
Well, you're not allowed on top of the castle. I still want you to tell people they can be climbing up on things. I think it's unsafe.
So, yeah, you could be back by Casey's or even Crystal Palace or Plaza. But,
way to
yeah.
bring the room down, man. Way to bring the room down.
I just learned to ignore him.
Stay safe, everybody. Otherwise, you're going to apparently sue Melissa. So, however, and finding a good place, once the hub changed, it makes it so much better, and people aren't jockeying for the positions. But if you're one of those people and you haven't had enough desserts from all the candy that you have collected along the way at the 22 stops that you've made where they've handed you gobs of candy, you can also do their dessert party. Because they do yes. have a special dessert party that you... It's a hard-ticketed event. You go over to the Tomorrowland Terrace restaurant area, and they serve it there. But it includes the tables that are draped in black tablecloth with a flickering jack-o'-lantern. Yum. And you can dine on and dine by, meaning find all the sugar you possibly can and shove it in your mouth as fast as you can. So it's not really a dining experience for you. It's more of a get in there and get your sugar. Halloween-themed cupcakes, desserts prepared the same day by the pastry chef, I sure hope so, with a buffet of sweet treats, chocolate-dipped strawberries, which you know me, I'm going to scrape the chocolate off the strawberry. It's going to take me more time, so everybody else has more time to go to the buffet. Chocolate mousse, ice cream, cheese, fresh fruits, and a toast to the best ghost at your table with sparkling cider and lemonades, Halloween drinks, hot chocolate, and so forth. So that gives you a reserved area that you can watch the fireworks from and sit down, relax, and watch the fireworks and have these wonderful treats.
I will say I tried to get one of those today, and I couldn't find any availability.
They go fast.
So if you didn't book it, keep trying. You never know you never know if there's going to be a cancel or something opens up. Keep trying on the days that you are looking to do it. But currently, I want to say almost all those days are booked up right now.
That tells you how good they are or how much of a value it is.
Yeah.
A lot of people will look at it and go, you know what? The price point this year is kind of high. It's $79 for adults and $47 for kids ages 3 to 9. So your kids... You thought your children were going to only stop being expensive at 18, but no, it's now 10.
Yeah.
So it is it's an extra cost, but for those people who really want to kind of treat themselves and not have to fight for that location, for that viewing location, this is an idea. However, think too, they might have released some, but not all the tickets, which happens as well. And then sometimes they also expand the location if they have the ability to do so.
Yeah, and that's why I will keep checking, because I don't mind paying more for the peace of mind of not having to wait around. That is something I'm always okay with. So, wow, we covered a lot tonight. We are the Disney Magic Hour and a Half by this standard. So,
we'll have to edit out all the funny parts.
Oh, I don't
what
edit.
What was that? Toes or whatever
you
call
it. Yeah. Right after the Jolson reference.
Yeah. Yeah, please. That's probably a great idea.
All right, guys. I think that's going to wrap up most of what we have. So, we'll just do one quick little overlook of what we spoke about today. We talked about the not-so-scary Halloween party. We went pretty deep into the Food and Wine Fest. You've got three great movies coming out this fall that you can enjoy in Doctor Strange, Moana, and Rogue One. Maybe some cooler weather. It is going to be the 45th anniversary. You might be able to find some extra, doodads here and there around the park starting October 1st, 1971. If you have a time machine, you can go back and reenact it. And Rizzo, Pizza Rizzo, is going to open up to the evidently much more interest than we had before, because I'm really curious. And will Paddlefish actually happen or swim its way out for another couple of months? I guess that is all to be said. And what else did I have there? The Great Irish Hoolie. You know what? Find us on Facebook, Disney Magic Hour. We are going to make some reservations right after we're done here, and we're going to share that with you guys. September 22nd, we are going to be doing Halloween Horror Nights over at Universal Studios. We're actually going to be doing that with our buddy Jimmy Styles. We do not have a specific date yet for when we are going to do Halloween, the Not-So-Scary Party, but we will know by the time you hear this, actually. So I will have already set it on the website. Because
you can post in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll post in the show notes as well. But if you're on the Disney Magic Hour group on Facebook, you'll have known about it by now as well. So we will see you guys all soon. Next week, we're actually going to be talking about Halloween Horror Nights a bit. Me and Jimmy Styles are going to give you guys a preview of the houses that are coming up. Because, hey, we're biparkle over here, if that's a word. And if it wasn't, it is now. So. All right. Anything else we want to say? All right. I think we're good. Once again, thank you so much to MEI Travel for becoming part of our, for actually having us become part of your family. And we're really, really excited. And we're going to.
Don't let me down, dude. Don't let me down.
Go on the site. Go on the site. All right, guys. Have a nice night. Until next week, say goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Melissa.
Say goodnight, Becky.
Goodnight, Becky.
Goodnight, Pete. And there you go. Some of the best reasons to come down and visit Walt Disney World in the fall. So a lot of information given there, movies, festivals, Halloween parties, so much to digest and take in. But I hope you guys enjoyed this. We had a really great time recording this week. I want to just take another extra moment and thank Becky and MEI Travel for becoming a sponsor of the show, even though she kind of is MEI Travel. So I guess it's just thank Becky. But yeah, head on over to meitravel.com. They are experts in pretty much all of your vacation needs inside Disney and outside Disney. They just had a big rush too because there was the WDW trip announced by Lou and Becky just a couple of nights ago that I think it's sold out already. And that was a trip to Shanghai, and it was not a light price, but man, the experience. Oh, I wish we could have done it, but unfortunately we not. But you know what? We're going to make our own events very soon. We're hoping to do that this year. We're hoping to next year, I should say. We're hoping to do a couple next year in 2017. So as we find out, of course, we will share it with you guys, and we hope to see as many of you there as possible. So until then, though, right now you are listening to Pogo. You can find this video and more over at youtube.com/Pogo. His music is at soundcloud.com/Pogo Mix. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at DIS Magic Hour Pod. Find us over on Facebook if you search for Disney Magic Hour. Head on over to iTunes. Leave that 5-star review. It's one of the biggest things you can do for our show, guys. We really, really appreciate it. And Mel will read them when she's here to record an outro. Hop on over to Google Play Music. We can find us over there as well. And all of our shows are available at soundcloud.com/Disney Magic Hour Podcast. The Instagram also is Disney Magic Hour Podcast. Mel does a lot of hard work on that. Thank you, everyone, for listening. You have brought us to where we are. Without you, we would not be here. We'll see you next week. Take care.